And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon. Welcome to a beautiful, beautiful Monday on Aggie Nation. Cease.
Holy moly. What's with you today?
The Astros are in the playoffs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
But despite all odds and unbelievably tanking in the month of September, they still made it. So I'm in a great mood. It is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150, or more popularly, you can text us 229-1939. It's a wild weekend. I feel like I haven't slept in 4 days. Yesterday I got I'm emailing, because you know all these old people that work around here. We got like Chip and Louie, and everyone's emailing back and forth trying to figure out if the Astros would have had a playoff game today. Was that going to be on the station? If it was the Rangers, is that different than if it's the Angel? That was going on yesterday. The Colts needed overtime to beat the Jaguars because Matt Hasselbeck's at quarterback. We look like a 2008 all-star team sort of right now.
Still better than the Cowboys, though.
Yeah.
And my Steelers.
The Cowboys tanked. I don't know what the Steelers are doing last week.
I'll tell you what, I wish I could place kick because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be somewhere in the NFL.
Yeah. One of those games, the weird one yesterday, I'm trying to remember what was going on. The Josh Lambeau missed a
that,
field goal to win it, and then it didn't count because they were offsides, and then he went ahead to hit it. A wild weekend. I'm just now figuring out what all's going on. I'm apparently maybe going to the Texans-Colts game on Thursday down there in Houston.
Oh, really?
And
playing quarterback?
Yeah, might be playing for Indianapolis.
I thought we'd maybe have a couple of Texas football players with us. Nothing else to do.
Well, and then that's going on too. And the Astros are in the postseason. Yesterday we were trying to figure out what all was going to happen. It ended up being the simple way. They only have the one game, and it's in New York tomorrow night. But if you know, they could be at home this weekend too. So what a week for an off week. All kinds of stuff going on around here.
Dan Campbell is an interim head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, that came out today. Dan Campbell is now the interim head coach of the Dolphins. So there's your second Aggie head coach in the NFL currently. Although I told Rob earlier, I don't think I'm only like 50-50 think that Kubiak counts. Manning is really the head coach with the Broncos, it looks like.
Wow.
So if you watch their games, it just seems like Manning does whatever he wants.
He doesn't want to.
Including
throw interceptions.
All that's going on. We're going to get to all that throughout the week. Let's start with A&M Mississippi State, because this was, in a couple ways, it was a big game, and in a couple ways, it wasn't. It wasn't because, frankly, Mississippi State's not real good, I don't think. I think they're an all right team.
I think they're an all right team.
Yeah, I think they're maybe fringe top 25-ish. Maybe.
They're an 8-4-7-5 team.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah, and they're all right. The thing for A&M was, and this is what we talked about, this is actually one of the games that did play out the way I thought. A&M got up a couple scores, and it's kind of held Mississippi State off. I mean, they weren't good enough to score on A&M. And I get the frustration from the fans, because A&M fans are used to the 2012, 2013,
team.
2014 even offense. A little bit, Aggie offense, where if you're ahead, you step on their throat, you keep scoring, you don't stop. And for a couple reasons, the reason was you never knew how many points your defense might give up, so you had to keep scoring. Now, and it's something A&M fans are going to have to get used to. Right now, a lot of the talk is, Jake Spavadal gets too conservative. But the problem is, and I don't want to say the problem, the good side really, if you're the A&M coaching staff, they trust their defense now. They don't want to turn the ball over.
Correct.
They're just fine with running it, kicking the field goal, put the defense back on the field, because Mississippi State, they had the one long touchdown drive, but for the most part, they weren't going to score. So A&M trusted the defense, which is something the A&M fans had to get used to again a little bit.
Because Mississippi State offense screwed up. The A&M offense the last 2 weeks is not screwed up when it comes to turnovers. That's a huge change in this makeup, the psychic of this team. And as I watched that game unfold, because we have to write about it, I thought that A&M would be able to hang 35-40 on Mississippi State's defense. Pretty, and I wouldn't use the word pretty easy, but when it's all said and done, I expected them to score around 40 points. That being said, I also thought A&M would give up 28 points because of Dak Prescott would make some plays, get them in a compromising position. He'd have a receiver behind everybody a couple times just because of him. Turns out A&M's defense is a little better than I thought they were, even with their linebackers' problems. And I think you have to look at that. The main thing I came out of that game, A&M's defense is a little bit better than I thought they were, should be. And this bodes well for the future because I don't care what you said. We've seen it going back. Everybody keeps talking about Johnny Manziel in 2012. That defense wasn't bad, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, they stepped up when they had to. And until you have a defense that can step up and make plays, you're not going to be a championship team. And that's why they went out and got John Chavis. Saturday night is, again, an indication of what. And I understand Myles Garrett. I could coach Myles Garrett. Dan Campbell wishes he had Myles Garrett in Miami. I understand that. But you can scheme for one player. I guarantee you. Alabama will scheme for Myles Garrett. You have to have other players. They have other makers. How many times do we keep saying Donovan Wilson? Wilson.
Man. I talked to someone yesterday about him, and he might be, you know, the guy that we weren't talking about enough before the season. That, you know, and there was no real reason to talk about him before the season. We hadn't seen him do a whole lot. But a guy that, and we said, you know, if A&M's going to be good, and we talked about this all summer, and I kept saying, if A&M's defense is going to be good, it was not necessarily because of Myles Garrett. It was going to be guys we hadn't heard of yet. And Donovan Wilson is one of those guys. He unbelievably finds himself around the ball all the time. I haven't looked this up yet, but I'm wondering, when was the last time that a player forced a turnover in three straight games? He had an interception.
Sure.
And actually, I think he caused a fumble against Arizona State, too. I think he had a forced fumble.
Yes, he did. He blew up the play down near the goal line.
He had a forced fumble in that game, a forced fumble Saturday, and he had interceptions against both Ball State. And
Arkansas. How many times you mention his game?
Yeah.
You keep mentioning his name.
Or against Nevada, he had the interception.
You keep mentioning his name.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And his ability to create turnovers. And that's the thing that, you know, the yards and the points and all that stuff obviously matters. But the thing that helps more than anything is if you have a guy or a couple guys that just have a knack for turnovers. And it's a hard skill to describe because a lot of it is luck. I mean, that ball could have bounced, you know, another way and someone else recovers it, or the ball could have, you know, something else like that, or, you know, the interception was on fourth down. You didn't necessarily have to catch that one against Arkansas. But this is what made Tyrann Mathieu so good, is that he just, for some reason, and it's hard to describe why, almost supernaturally was able to find the football and get turnovers, and that's what Donovan Wilson's been able to do this year.
And it was very frustrating for Aggie fans the last couple of years because that defense could not create turnovers, no matter how hard it time. The only way they were going to get turnovers if a team just handed them the ball or screwed
and sometimes
up.
They tried to hand them the ball.
Sometimes they tried and they couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Now what has changed now is, you notice I was impressed by how hard the Mississippi State players were trying to protect the ball, sometimes running with two hands, because you could tell they've looked at films and their coach said, you better hold on to the ball.
Because they're coming.
And you better not have your head in a swivel because you're going to get hit. And you see what Arkansas did, you see whatever. But, you know, so suddenly there's something else to put in the opponent's offensive head. They're thinking, hey, I got to hold on to the ball. When you think about holding on to the ball, what do? You turn it over.
Yeah, well, and we talked about the defense again, and I was right there with the fans. Watching that A&M offense in the second half was brutal. I mean, they just weren't very good. But they didn't need to be very good. They didn't want to risk it. There was no real reason to throw into coverage, or if a guy wasn't wide open. Like I said, they feel good enough right now to, hey, we'll get down the field. we'll kick a field goal, and you know that's fine. And then we'll keep going. And you got the sense, or at least I got the sense, that when A&M scored at the end of the first half, the coaching staff sort of thought the game was over. You know, they were like, they're not going to score this many points on us, no matter what the offense does.
The game's over if we don't screw up.
Right.
I think that's what they said, and they got together.
Yeah.
And that's a switch. But, you know, once again, is when you're in the SEC, it is not about style points. For, for years, LSU has won ugly, 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 and even Alabama, to a certain extent, will do the same thing, and that's how you become a championship team. You're not worried. Guess what? To me, who couldn't win ugly a little bit? Ole Miss couldn't win ugly. Georgia was ugly. I mean, you've got to be able to make the basic plays, play defense, solid defense, do all this. And let's not forget, you know, A&M is very strong right now in special teams. If they could quit making stupid penalties, but they have playmakers all across the boards. And someone showed a lot of confidence in Bertlett coming off that game, I thought. Yeah, he still missed one field goal, but he made three. But things are coming together, and now they're going to be five. They're 5-0. So you got 2 weeks to really feel good about yourself, but correct things. But I took out of that game the defense. I took out. Yeah. They're still missing a lock. They're still missing probably some healthy linebackers. We don't know how strong Josh Wall.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is where they're at moving forward defensively is just. And I watched Brandon Williams a couple plays. He is really playing more aggressive all the time because he's had confidence. So he's going to get better just because he's making plays.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, last year the only real good defensive player was Myles Garrett. And, I mean, there was some guys that were okay. But this year –
Had flashes.
But this year, you know, Garrett has obviously been great. I mean, he's – I think in midseason you can start to say legitimately. I mean, I don't think he can win it, but at least he's been mentioned as a Heisman finalist, which is crazy for
He's got to make all those betting sheets and whatever. He hasn't done those yet.
Yeah, but –
he's
got to
get on
those. But at least from national writers, I don't think he'll actually even end up an actual finalist. But a lot of national guys that are – you know, they like him at least in the mix right now. He needs some crazy plays to actually get in.
Sure he does.
He's going to have to score a couple times, frankly, if to get in there. But it's not just him. It's been Deshaun Hall, who, you know, it's hard to really gauge how good he's been because his success is as much as about how good he is as it is with how good Myles Garrett is. He's had a couple times the quarterbacks were so scared of Garrett they ran right into him, which helps a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which helps a lot. But Devontae Harris has been good. I mean, not just okay. He's been good this year. Justin Evans has been good. Donovan Wilson, we mentioned, has been able to get the football several times already. He's been good. And you know, it's one of those things you inspire confidence, then the guys believe in themselves, and it makes themselves better. It's one of those weird things, but Chavis talked about it all offseason, and it's worked. I mean, I think at this point we can say they may not be the wrecking crew or the best defense in the country, but they were good enough, like I said, that the A&M coaching staff looked like once they had 24 points, it looked like they thought, hey, if we don't turn the ball over, they're not going to be able to score 24 points. run this thing.
And say what you will, we're seeing in the collegiate game and the NFL. You do have to worry about injuries. As you move forward, coaching staffs are so good at the collegiate level up. If you have a weakness, they're going to find it. If A&M has a weakness, and they do, Nick Saban is going to find it. And if Alabama's got a weakness, particularly on defense, Jake Spavital and those guys will find it. And that's why I'm looking forward to the game in 2 weeks because I think that A&M is a 9-3 or 10-2 team right now. But I have a little bit of reservations, and Alabama is the gold standard for everyone. Georgia found out that their gold bars went to iron in a hurry.
Yeah, Bama's not dead yet, huh?
Bama is not. and as I heard the scores come in, I go, why did I think that Georgia could beat Alabama?
Yeah, but I know. It's just so crazy now.
This is a little bit about we have so much scrutiny because what happens? Ole Miss beats Alabama. They go like 10, 12 points up in the poll. Now I got to laugh is Florida makes the biggest jump in the history of the AP poll. We have so much scrutiny, but we want to over adjust quickly. It's just like suddenly when we're not on someone's bandwagon, everybody jumps on. And then when somebody loses one game, you want to put all this dirt on them. And it's amazing how fast we change. Because you think about it, in the history of the AP poll, no one's ever had that kind of fluctuation. Why? Because of all the attention, because of talk radio, because of social media. We're all over it. We want to dump on somebody, and boy, now everybody loves Florida, and everybody loves this. And, oh, man, look out. Maybe Toledo will win the national championship.
Well, and it's you know, a lot of things to break down from that game, and we'll continue to, obviously, with no game this week. We got to talk about Mississippi State for 2 weeks. But and the thing that I came away with, if you're an A&M fan, is you're going, all right, the defense, and again, I'm not saying that they're going to win a national title. I'm definitely not saying that at this point in the season or anything like that. But I think if you're an A&M fan who's thinking, you know, the schedule kind of works out a little bit this year, is it possible? Their defense is good enough, I think, now. I think we could say that after this weekend. And again, it's not the best defense in the SEC or anything, but it's good enough that they should be able to win any game. I wouldn't say that there's a team out there now that you go, oh, there's no way A&M can beat this team.
There's no 59-0 out there. I mean, there's probably no even 35-10 out there, I firmly believe, because A&M's got enough weapons on offense, and now they have enough weapons on defense. If they come out for whatever reason, and let's say like Alabama comes out with this tremendous power package, and Henry just comes out and they just go down the field twice on long, sustained, double-digit drives, A&M has enough talent on defense that they're going to be able to adjust. That's just not going to be able to continue, whereas we've seen in the past before, if A&M was gouged early, they really couldn't do anything about it.
That was just what was going to happen.
Because then they put nine guys up in the box, and then you saw a wheel route, and there was a guy 20 yards open. They have enough talent. That's where they've gotten. They've talked about talent and competition. They've got there. They've moved up. But are they better than Ole Miss? Are they better than LSU? Are they better than Alabama? I don't know. That's to be determined. But they are better than Arkansas. They are a lot better than Mississippi State. They are a lot better than South Carolina. So you just cross off your list and move forward.
Yeah. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, you know, we're going to keep talking A&M, Mississippi State. We're going to talk SEC. Hit us up, 229-1939 with your questions, your comments, your takes, all that good stuff. We will get to the Texas Longhorns in a little bit.
Whoa.
I mean, you have to. They're the story. I mean, they're the story of the weekend, I think, on the other side of the thing, is just how – and not just how bad they are. The story, that program is borderline disarray right now with all the stuff they have going on today and in social media and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that later on, too. Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Knows bars, two for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Meet Fred, world champion excuse maker.
That's me.
He's been late for work 5 days in a row. His excuses?
Someone stole my steering wheel, my cat had a root canal, my cousin's houseboat sank, and I had to feed my neighbor's ferret.
So what's his excuse for not going to AggielandHelpWanted.com? He knows he'll find a terrific new job from a great local employer.
Yeah.
It's free. There are more local job postings than anywhere else. And applying for jobs is even easier than ever before.
Well, yeah.
So, champ?
I was abducted by aliens.
Uh-huh. There's no excuse. Go to AggielandHelpWanted.com today. Long name. Amazing results.
Hey, neighbor, it's me. That guy two desks away that never takes a sick day. Seriously, you could always count on me to show up, even if I feel terrible. Which reminds me, I have the flu, and if you're one of the 63% of people that didn't get their flu shot, you can get it from me. You really should get a flu shot at Rite Aid, where you'll also get a free cold and flu protection plan to protect you from people like me. Another reason Rite Aid says with us, it's personal.
Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
Your home for fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. Robert Bloom, Robert Cessna, hanging out. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. I want to remind you that this Wednesday, make your way out to Kreitz Market for the Crosstown Kickoff Show. Brian and A&M Consolidated square off this Friday night, and you can hear the coaches and players this Wednesday at 6, live from Kreitz Market. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com. We named this the, me and David have been calling this the OG Crosstown Showdown, the original Crosstown Showdown.
The OG Crosstown Showdown.
Yeah. Let's see. Some people have already texted in, and like I said, we'll get to Texas. People, there's got a lot going on over there. And then someone texted Wilson. It's funny. They texted this right as I was saying it. Someone said Wilson is the honey badger for Chavis here. What was funny is I meant to say that a couple sentences before, and I couldn't think of his actual name. I couldn't think of Tyrann Mathieu for a second.
Just honey badger?
Yeah.
Why not think of honey badger? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Someone said Aubrey enjoyed winning a big game at Kyle. How would you improve the short yardage package? It's been a multi-year issue. That's from Chris and Cibolo. My thing is... There's a couple layers here. One is A&M's not great in short yardage is the problem. But, again, I think some of that was they were okay with where they were at. They were like, okay, we don't want to put the ball in the air here because we're in field goal range, and a field goal here makes a big difference. So we'll just go ahead and run it, and if we don't get it, we'll kick it. The other thing is, and because of that, I think they didn't throw it a lot. A&M's not very good running the football. It's just they're not. And especially that when James White got hurt again, because you only have one running back, essentially. Your second best running back is your backup quarterback. So I think that the problem there is they've run too much on short yardage for me personally is what I would do. I wouldn't worry about improving the short yardage packages. I'd just throw it on short yardage. I mean, that's what they do best is throw the football would be my thing. I don't want to say they run too much, but I think they run too much.
I don't have any problem particularly early in the year when you're winning to run the football when another team knows you're going to run the football. Because what you say is I'm going to take three and get out of here. I'm not playing Alabama right now. I'm not playing Ole Miss. Do I want to go ahead and show everything? I'll mix in a little Wildcat here. I'll move forward. Because sometimes you don't want to give – you know, what do coaches also get blamed for? Giving up on the run too early in the season or too early in the game. So it's a fine line you have there. And we talk about – and I'll be a little coach speak here. The SEC is a line of scrimmage league. You have to get the Deshaun Halls. And the Miles Garrett's to move forward. And everybody has the line of scrimmage league. And you can't always come out third and one and third and three. And, oh, man, I didn't expect them to come out with a five-wide set and do all this because A&M does it. You can't do that all the time either because then you become a run and shoot. You become way too predictable. Then when you have to get that fourth and one down at the goal line, you can't because you – come up with some wild thing of a screen to a tight end that's horrible, what have you. So right now, I don't have any problem. I think
that's the thing. I don't have a problem with it either.
I think they're going to have problems running the football all year long in short yardage because I just don't know if this is an offensive line that can go 5-on-5 or 5-on-6 and get that 1 or 2 yards. And then also, is Kyle Allen's not a guy that's under center. He's going to go ahead and be in the shotgun. So it is a line of scrimmage league. So if you blitz two linebackers and you're running all the time in 3rd and 1 and 2, you're not going to get it. But even if you call pass plays, sometimes you're going to get it. So right now, bottom line is, do they run the ball too much? Maybe, but 5 games into the season, I'm not ready to say that.
And the other thing, too, and it goes along with what you're saying, I said the other layer of this is that they're running the ball now in the hopes that it will help them run the ball later. They're trying to get better at it. And I get some of that.
Get one more guy out of the box. Yeah, the other team wants a guy out of the box because they respect you.
And again, this also goes back to what we've been saying is that they trust the defense a lot. So, you know, they want to get better running it in short yardage, so they run it in short yardage. But again, another part of that is they think, you know, hey, even if we don't pick this up, our defense is good enough that we're still fine. We're ahead by 10 points. We can't lose the game on this call. Let's just go ahead and run the football again. And maybe they get better at it as the season goes along. I don't know. The thing is, to me, if it was 3rd and 1 against Alabama, they're throwing the football, is what I think.
Probably.
Or a run-pass option. Well, and that's not necessarily a knock on the run game either. It's just they're so good passing it that it just – why run it? I mean, if you're better at one thing, it doesn't matter. The yard to gain is, you know, doesn't necessarily matter. If you're better throwing it, go ahead and throw it than you are running it. In big plays, you got to put your best plays out there. And the other thing that this goes back to, and it will be interesting to follow throughout the season if James White gets healthy and becomes a major factor in the run game, is right now, with only one running back, you have to be careful what you do running the football. You can't necessarily run it on back-to-back plays. If Trey Carson just went out for a long pass on 2nd down, well, then you've got to be careful what you call on 3rd down because he could be tired from running 40 yards downfield or whatever. So they're limited on offense a little bit right now. I will say the one thing I didn't like that they've been doing the last couple weeks is I don't like Christian Kirk. I think I talked about this last week too, in the Wildcat. And I know you want to get Christian Kirk the ball as much as possible. That's fine. Obviously, that's a good idea. He's your best offensive player right now. But I don't like putting him in the Wildcat for 2 reasons. One, those takes away plays. Like, he's a freshman, and I know he's a physically mature freshman, but he is going to get tired. And they've talked about that freshman wall that players hit throughout the season, like Armani Watts did last year. And, I think a lot of that has to do with physicality, and I don't want him taking any more hits than he has to. And if he's in at Wildcat, you know exactly what's about to happen. He's going to run some sort of option read sweep thing. And the other reason I don't like it is the perfect Wildcat quarterback is your backup quarterback.
Kyler Murray, that you could have Kirk's in a slot or back with him. Have him back there with him.
And I don't know if maybe Kyler was banged up. I haven't heard that. I don't know. That's the thing. You would think, though, if A&M was going to run the Wildcat, they would just go ahead and run Kyler Murray. Because when Christian Kirk comes out there in the Wildcat, the defense is going, okay, this is a run play. If Kyler Murray comes out there in the Wildcat, you're thinking, all right, there's at least a chance he's going to throw this. So the safeties have to stay back. So, yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that. So someone said, would you put Kyle under center instead of the shotgun for short yardage situations? Nick asked that. I'm not there at practice, so I don't know. But my initial instinct is no, because you're not used to taking snaps under center.
Correct.
I mean, the worst thing
is a fumble.
The worst thing you'd want, what Indiana did. You take your snaps out of the center for 90 plays, out of the shotgun for 90 plays, and then all of a sudden you try to go up under center for a big play and you fumble the snap. I would rather take the snap the way I'm used to. The thing I don't like so much, goes back to they're trying to work on this. They ran the exact same play in every short yardage situation on Saturday. At least, maybe not every single one, but they at least ran it 4 or 5 times. That sort of like pistol counter thing where Trey Carson took a couple steps one way and then there was a pulling guard coming back around the center and he tried to follow him through the hole. They ran that play like in every short yardage situation on Saturday. And it worked a couple times and it didn't work a couple times. But that goes back to them, you know, trying to get better at it. We got to go to break and then we'll come back. And we'll get to whatever your appointment is about to be, Cease. We got to hit a break real quick here. Keep your text coming, 229-1939. We will get to them, I promise. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Rebert with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Navasota's new police chief has family and professional ties in Brazos and Grimes County. That includes Navasota's municipal judge, John LaFleur, who did the swearing-in of Justin Leith.
In 1968, this young man's grandfather swore me in as a peace officer. He had a lot of thoughts after that about what he did. But and it's my honor and pleasure to be able to swear in his grandson.
A 10-year member of the department, Leith takes over for Sean Myatt, who became Navasota's assistant city manager last October.
I know that you're going to do very well. Your heart, your soul, and your desire is there to develop others in the police department. And not only is it a sad day for me to hand the reins over, but it's also an honor.
Leith was pinned by his father, who is a lieutenant with the College Station Police Department. College Station police are investigating a case of a drug deal turning into an armed robbery and the suspect running away when the victim let loose his pit bull. This was yesterday morning about 4:30 at a residence on Dominic between George Bush and Stallings. The suspect is accused of striking the victim several times on the back of his head with a firearm. The suspect, whose description is on our website at WTAW.com, ran off with an undisclosed quantity of narcotics. A Texas prisoner facing execution next week for the slaying of a Dallas police officer 14 years ago has lost an appeal before the U.S. Supreme Court. 33-year-old Lico Escamilla is set to die October 14th for gunning down Officer Christopher Kevin James during a brawl outside a Dallas nightclub on Thanksgiving weekend 2001. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
October is here, but Halloween isn't till the 31st. But Rattlers has goodies for you every day, like Goodness Knows bars, 2 for only $3. Grab any size coffee or cappuccino to go with that for only 79 cents. Rattlers has in-store specials all the time, from hot dogs and chips to soft drinks. Make sure to stop by Rattlers on your way home from work and pick up any 12-pack from the fine families of beer, from Bud, Miller, and Coors, for only $10.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
It is time to go back in time. Bud Light invites you to join the fun of the Texas Renaissance Festival, beginning Saturday, October the 10th through Sunday, November 29th, including Thanksgiving Friday. Share in the merriment of hundreds of live performances, the taste of over 1,000 foods, and the fun of dozens of games and rides. Only a 50-acre theater could contain this much adventure. Tickets are now on sale at texrenfest.com. Don't miss the legendary revelry of the Texas Renaissance Festival, brought to you by Bud Light. Huzzah!
Tickets are now available for this year's Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo. Head out to the Brazos County Expo October 16th, 17th, and 18th. There's fun for all with the carnival, rodeo, awesome concerts, shopping, high-flying canines, livestock shows, a tailgate area, and more. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com or call 979-821-1450.
If you're a high school senior, join your classmates and commit to attending all of your classes this year.
At the end of the school year, Atkinson Toyota Scion is giving away a new Scion, or you could win one of many scholarships.
Details online and on Facebook.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellini, Aggie Nation, and Chip Power. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
All right, see, some texts have come in. Someone said, right as we were getting started, someone said, hindsight being 2020, do you think Charlie Strong wishes he would have stayed at Louisville? He was still making almost $4 million there. Someone said, who will have more wins, Johnny Manziel as the starter or Texas this year? And then someone said, all right, enough with the entree. Let's get to the dessert, the icing on the cake, the dumpster fire that is the Texas football program. Cease. This is a team, and I said before the year that there was no way Charlie Strong could get fired this season. I no longer think that. I think there is a way. They are horrible. And not only are they horrible, they now have this locker room issues. They had some meetings this weekend, according to Mike Finger, the Express News. He said they lead the nation in team meetings. And
Not a good sign.
They have players tweeting at halftime. They today had a player call out some of the underclassmen, not by name, but he referenced that some of the younger players on the team aren't wanting to put in the work. Well, then one of the freshman players, and I don't have the tweet pulled up, but one of the freshman Longhorn players called the upperclassmen out on Twitter. He posts this big long note on Twitter about how the freshmen are working hard and trying to pull Texas out of the drought. So you've got players calling each other out on social media and in the press. This is a mess, Cease. I mean, this is not just a bad football team. This is a bad locker room right now.
Well, you look at what's transpiring. All it goes back to is, well, losing. Anytime you lose, you got problems. And you can go back to here when Sherman couldn't win his last year when things started falling apart. And that's mild compared to what's happened at Texas. So once again, you always look at the worst time recently in your program or the team you cover. And then now you take Texas and you magnify it about 100 times. Because once again, because of social media and where we're at, Texas is 1-4, but it's got to feel like they're 1-10. If you're a Texas fan right now, it's got to feel like this is the absolute worst thing because of Baylor and TCU and A&M. Even Texas Tech's getting better love of what they've been able to do under Kingsbury than what you are. So if you're a Texas person of power, how do you turn this around? You already fired the AD. You've already admitted that was a screw up. So now what are you doing? And Aggies right now are laughing, and rightfully so. I mean, the nation's laughing because it probably hasn't been this bad outside laughing in since.
Well, they said they haven't. Texas hasn't gone 1-5 since the 50s.
I just don't know. We've never seen it in the time that we have, so it's never happened before. So when things have never happened before, how do you react? Because it's just not as simple. They just can't call up and Saban and go, hey, we want you to come again. Let's go and get this all straightened out.
Yeah.
And I always look, if you're going to move on, who would you get? And to me, there's no with a guy like Saban said he's not coming. Ameyer is not coming. There's certain people that are not coming. So those are the only people that I would throw out there. And this is no knock on Charlie Strong, but once again, is you're looking for a big home run. And I don't see it out there.
Chip Kelly is the only one.
Well, I'm saying Chip Kelly, but you got to wait till the end of the NFL season,
right.
And you got to do a lot of and then.
Well, and there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee
that you could get it from the Eagles,
correct?
Because they all of a sudden look not terrible. I mean,
he might survive, and you can't say okay. If you're a man of power in Texas, you can't say, okay, let's wait till the end of the year. We'll just back Charlie here. We know that we're going to get.
I don't know.
You don't know if that's going to be the case. And when you look at this Texas situation, it's going to get worse before it gets better because Bob Stoops is going to hang 50 on him. I mean, Stoops trying to show that he's back in the title.
Yeah.
He can't have a 35-24 victory over Texas. That would be like a loss.
Well, and that's one of the things now. There's so few. It's going to be kind of a long point, so bear with me here. There's so few big games in the Big 12 right now that Texas, anytime you play Texas, because they do have a national following, and when they're horrible right now, everyone wants to make fun of them, and people watch those games. You have to use that as a barometer to show how good you are.
How good you
are. TCU did it on Saturday. They said, hey, we're not out of the national title race. Yeah, our defense has been bad, but look what we could still do to this team. Oklahoma now has to do that. And
correct.
Like you said, it's not going to get any better because now Texas is staring down that rifle.
They're going to lose at Iowa State. Come on, you better get prepared for it. They're going to lose all their road games.
And then they end the season in Waco. And I believe that game is at Baylor this
year.
That
is correct.
And you talk about a team that would love to. In fact, they had some quotes about it last week. Baylor's goal is to score 100 on somebody. That might be the day it happens because
you think about, let's be honest, what's Texas's record going to be? I see only one win for sure left on the table, and that's Kansas at home.
Yeah, they get Kansas home.
Maybe Kansas State. Kansas State's their third string quarterback.
Yeah.
So they have problems.
They got down to like their fifth string quarterback Saturday.
Because they had
so many injuries. That's the problem right now for the Texas administration, the big money guys too, is you could also hold with it. If the teams that are going to be destroying you weren't your big in-state rivals, but they are. I mean, that's the thing. You lose – if you're a recruit right now, why would you possibly want to go to Texas?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Let's say you're even a father of a recruit, and you have you have no ties to any program at all. And a lot of parents don't these days because they're looking at the best deal for their son.
Yeah.
Where can they go and get to the NFL? Where can they go and get a network for the rest of their career or whatever? Why would you go to Texas right now?
Right. I mean, and someone joked on David Ubbin was on Twitter, joked that, and a couple of things. He had a couple. One of his was that he said that TCU won't call off the dogs because they like beating Texas more than they like beating any other team in the Big 12. And I said the problem for Texas is that's true of every team in the Big 12 except maybe Oklahoma State. You know, they would probably rather beat Oklahoma, but every other team would rather kill Texas.
I want to add something real quick, and I don't want to say that I'm saying you don't go to Texas. You go to go to A&M, go to Baylor, go to TCU, go to Texas Tech, go to Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Those are all LSU. Those are all better options than Texas right now. So when I'm saying, don't someone say, oh, you got the maroon hint?
No.
I'm just saying, why would you go to Texas? There's 15 other options right now that are better for you and your family. And so I'm saying, how do you change that if you're Texas?
Well, and like I said, you've got the problem is you've got locker room drama now playing out publicly. You don't want your kid to be part of that if you're a parent, or if you're a kid, you don't want to be part of it. And the other thing is, like I said, the other thing that Ubbin tweeted about on Saturday was, he said, it's crazy with the resources that Texas has that they're the fifth best team in the state right now. And I go, I don't know that I would have them favored over Houston.
Would you have them that high?
That's what I was going to say. I don't know that they're fifth. If they were playing Houston on Saturday, I would expect Houston to win.
Here's the deal is if you're when those Texas guys are having their fifth double, they're saying, oh, my God, we could have had Herman. We didn't even hire him. And he's gone down to Houston, and he's doing the same thing Sumlin did now. He's getting that neighborhood team, and they're 5-0. Or whatever. I mean, it's like, what did we do?
So that's the part that Texas has to deal with is not only are they bad, but everyone around them is good. I mean, every single other program of the ones we just mentioned, Tech, TCU, Baylor, A&M,
Houston could win their conference.
And then you throw in the out-of-state Oklahoma also. It feels good about their program right now. Is what every single one of those teams feels good about their program is at or where their program is headed. If you're Oklahoma, you're thinking, you know, yeah, we had a lot. The last couple of years weren't up to our standard, but look, this year we're on the way back.
Oklahoma State's ranked.
Tech feels like they're on the way back, and probably rightfully so. They certainly look the part for the most part this season. I mean, yeah, they got killed by Baylor and barely lost to TCU, but those are
join the club.
Yeah, those are top five teams, and they put a good showing on the field against TCU. Very easily could have won that game, and yeah, you got blown out by Baylor. So what?
Hey, but, West Virginia, they're not even here, but they're in the Big 12. West Virginia, Holgorsen, I thought they'd take a little step down this year. West Virginia's not bad, actually.
Well, and then the other problem, we mentioned this for Texas, is with all their primetime games, is people love to watch, you know, those traditional powers. When they're horrible, people love to watch. Texas got that, you know, Thanksgiving primetime spot to themselves this year because A&M and LSU's on Saturday. Texas is playing Texas Tech on Thanksgiving night in Austin. You know, that's another option. They might get blown out then, too. And so it's not only that you're losing and all this kind of stuff, but it's that it's so public.
It's a soap opera. Everybody loves a soap opera.
Well, and it's so public. I mean, so other teams, if you started, you know, Texas Tech, for example, if they had a horrible season, they just kind of fall off the radar and people stop paying attention. People aren't going to stop paying attention to Texas. The more they lose, almost the more people are going to watch.
And how many times can you come out every Monday and say, "Hey, we're behind Charlie"?
Yeah,
but, you know, you're looking at probably at least four or five more losses. So that's four or five more Mondays you got to come out and say, "Hey, we're 100% behind Charlie." In that locker room, and I always like people like to say at the Bright Complex, we keep it indoors. But social media anymore, you can't keep it indoors because those kids got to communicate with their family. And right now, you're going back to East Texas or South Texas or whatever, and you know, what's everybody going to ask you? What the heck's happening down there? What's going on? Why are you guys so bad?
I don't know how. There's no end in sight really either. I don't know how they pull out of this. They're going to have to. I don't know.
Well, we've seen it before. When you start going down, when it starts going down, it takes something. catastrophic to almost change it. Because right now, and it's what you said, it's the perfect storm. It's not like, okay, Baylor's also struggling. Texas Tech is really bad right now, too. It's a little bit like if you're a lawyer, you say, well, we're bad, but so is A&M. I mean, they ain't just got drove by so-and-so. No, that's not the case.
Right, and that's another part of it, too. Every big, you know, these guys are going to work in their Longhorn gear, like looking around at all their friends. Every other team.
People are wearing Baylor gear and didn't even go to Baylor. They don't even know where Waco is.
They're trying to hunt down the Texas State fans or something. I don't know, to commiserate with them, because, like I said, everyone else.
Texas State. There you go. Throw Fran underneath the bus one more time.
Well, someone texted. I would bet Coach Fran would be available for Texas' next coach. Wow. I don't know what his buyout is at Texas State, but we'll find out.
Okay, seriously, who would you hire if they decide they can't get Chip Kelly? It's a good. Do you make do you go way off in the limit and hire a Herman? I mean, do you go way? I'm just saying you decide that if you say, look what Kingsbury's done, look what Gundy's done, look what Sumlin's done, we need to get this young guy, throw the ball. Or do you hire Jake Spavital? If you're Texas, you're going to say, we're going to go. I'm just saying this. If you decide, hey, we've reached the point, we got to throw the ball 100 times next year, every game, whether we win or lose.
We sat around, me and a couple, I don't want to
mention
names. Yeah, a couple other writers after the game over at Kearney's on Saturday, just talking about football and who would be the answer for Texas if it's not Chip Kelly. And I didn't think of it then, but, you know, yesterday sitting around watching football, a gettable maybe guy, because I think he'd be gettable and potentially a good fit, Bill O'Brien, the Texans coach, I think would be interesting. He did a good job at Penn State.
Under unbelievable bad circumstances. But he wanted to get out there because he's an NFL guy.
Yeah, he is an NFL guy.
He's such an NFL guy.
I don't know that they could get him, but I think he would be a decent fit. But otherwise, that's part of the problem is – I don't know where you turn there, because you almost have to hire a spread coach, or no one's going to want to play for you.
But you got to compete against these. You got to get a guy that's going to throw that football, man.
I mean, I don't know if you go all in and just go ahead and try to hire Dana Holgorsen. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do.
So, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I don't have any answers for him. If I did, I'd be making a lot more money.
Could you load up to Brinks Trucks and finally pull the trigger on Art Browse? Then he turns you down.
That
even looks worse.
Man. I've joked about that before. That Texas, Art Briles would be the perfect
hire for
Texas.
That's the worst thing if he turns them down.
Well, yeah, we've talked about that. It'd be the perfect hire for Texas, but it's one they almost can't make because they can't risk
what if
being
he laughs
publicly
at him?
Turned down.
Oh, yeah. Then he comes out and says it.
They'd have to suspend the program. I mean, you know, like if Art Briles – and you know he would, too. If Art Briles didn't want to go there – he would string him along and make a big show of it publicly.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. That's the whole thing.
That's why you can't go after him.
Yeah, that's why they can't go after him, just because that might happen. So it's a mess. I don't know. It's the only thing you can say about it. And just watching that game Saturday, 50-7 is bad and didn't tell the whole story. That game could have been way worse.
Well, Texas has done one thing is they've helped the Longhorn Network. You don't have to worry about game day coming to Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Their game day show is going to be the only one around there for a little while.
Wow.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, let's talk more A&M. Hit us up, 229-1939. We might have some today in Aggie history. We might. We're going to carry on in the second hour. Stephen McGee just confirmed he'll be with us here in a little bit. We'll talk some NFL. Whatever y'all want to talk about. Again, hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
in conjunction with the 13th Annual Surviving and Thriving Lunch brought to you by the Texas A&M Health Science Center, featuring Joan London, sponsored by Kay and Britt Rice. Pink Alliance is excited that October 8th has been declared Paint the Town Pink Day. Please join us in promoting breast cancer awareness and prevention by painting the town pink. Wear your pink attire and stop by one of the participating restaurants, and 10% of your bill will be donated to Pink Alliance. For more information, please visit our website at pinkalliance.org.
Hi, Gabe Bach here from TexAgs Radio. And if you're not currently a premium or varsity level subscriber to TexAgs.com, what are you waiting for? TexAgs.com is the inside source for all things Aggie sports, the leaders in breaking news coverage, in-depth analysis, recruiting scoop, and more. Whether it's exclusive long-form interviews with Aggie players and coaches or insight on the next big recruit on his way to Aggieland, nobody covers A&M like TexAgs. Jump on board now and don't miss out on the very best in A&M sports coverage. It's TexAgs.com.
The Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo means good times and great food. It's more than you imagine. October 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Brazos County Expo. Concerts by Charlie Daniels Band, Belgrove Pygmies, and Los Terribles del Norte. Free with your paid admission. Discounted tickets and unlimited ride wristbands available until October 11th at Producers Co-op, Cavenders, and online at BrazosValleyFair.com. Parking is free and kids 3 and under get in free.
If you're a high school senior with perfect attendance this year, you could win a new Scion from Atkinson Toyota Scion.
Sign up at AtkinsonItPaysToStay.com.
You hear their games every Friday night on the Bryan Broadcasting family of stations. You follow their live scores on Twitter at Zone 1150, and you listen to the podcast of their games on BrazosFootball.com. But now you can really get to know your favorite high school football players with the High School Student-Athlete Profile presented by Kelly Bird Dozer. This coming Tuesday, Zone reporter Chelsea Reber sits down with College Station football player Raj Preciado and gets to know more about him on and off the field. Broadcast begins at 1:35 on the Louis Belina Show, Sports Radio 1150, and the Zone 102. FM. Again, that's the High School Student Athlete Profile, and it's brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer.
One, and in comes the two to the three and four. Then I drop the beat I have in store. Lay the lyrics on the top.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sesta. A few more people with some texts. Charlie from Springs said, poor sips, they reap what they sowed, and I love it. Someone said UTSA is a better option than Texas. Someone else said, John in Cypress said, you guys are missing the obvious. Hire Little Briles and let's make this a good old Ledge family hate fest.
Wow.
Kendall Briles would be an interesting hire by Texas. Yeah,
that would be. Wow.
Someone else said, Chad Morris. Can you imagine if Texas turned to an Aggie to try to save the program?
I don't think they will. I think there's too many old money's not going to go for that.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. That's not the Aggie thing, I don't think, is as big of a deal as the fact that he's only been at SMU 1 year. So
you throw all that together.
Yeah.
I think it does matter that he's an Aggie. I do.
And the same problem, you have the same problem with Herman down there at Houston. You'd like to have him a couple seasons and see what he can do as real at running a program for a couple years and not just one. And then someone texted on the Texas debacle, Will Muschamp must be the happiest dude out there right now. I'd hope not. Muschamp, how bad does he look? Florida, all of a sudden.
I was going to say, if
Florida looks like a national title Auburn's horrible.
If I'm Will Muschamp right now, better yet, Gus Malzahn, why did I hire Will Muschamp? Everybody told me I needed to hire this guy, that he would bring me luck. And suddenly it's
they're awful.
It's awful, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know about that one. Will, if I'm Will Muschamp, I'm thinking, what did I do? Well, how'd I screw that up?
The other thing is Florida looks unbelievable. I know they barely beat Tennessee, and they're the new, we all overreacted because they're ranked way too high, and they're probably not really a top 15 team or whatever. But they certainly look like it's Saturday. I mean, they just destroyed Ole Miss.
Their quarterback's up for ESPN Player of the Week.
Yeah, Greyer, I don't know how he says his name.
I didn't know who he was.
He's balling out of control. They've got two former quarterbacks that Will Muschamp ran into the ground. One of them's in the NFL at wide receiver, and one of them's doing pretty well, I believe, at Louisiana Tech. Is where one of the quarterbacks is. So they've both done better since they transferred out of Florida. And like I said, you're Will Muschamp coaching that mess of a defense that Auburn has. I think they're on bye week this week, like A&M. So they got a lot of regrouping to do too. But
Will Muschamp didn't need to worry about telling Nancy Berry he didn't want to come to College Station. There's a lot of places he won't be welcome anymore at all.
Right. Real quick, why don't we hit you with a little today in Aggie history.
And now, today in Aggie history.
Here we go. Of course, yesterday, A&M's birthday, October 4th. Everybody knows that. We try to go next level on today in Aggie history. October 5, 1945. Dana X Bible wins his first game as A&M coach. How about that? Today in Aggie history. That's a little.
They could get him.
That's a while back. Texas, yeah. Like, yeah, they might be able to get
the ghost.
The ghost of Dana X Bible. But. Whew, I said,
coach,
I don't know.
Coach, be a Ouija board.
I was getting my hair cut. Well, I shouldn't say. I get my head buzzed, basically.
What are you talking about?
I was at a local hair establishment on Saturday morning, and everyone's sitting around watching Texas get destroyed, and everyone's just laughing. I mean, it was one of those things that you can't turn away. It's so bad. All right, we're going to go to.